Hello and welcome to the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. Stephen is taking you through all 66 books of the Bible, and we're glad to have you along with us. Just before we get into today's lesson, I want to bring you into the studio because Stephen is here and he's received some correspondence.
Yeah. Hello, friends. Carlos writes from Texas, "After my wife left me, I felt completely broken. I started listening to Wisdom, and your teaching became a lifeline. Slowly, God's word healed my heart. I now have hope for the future and trust that God is still working in my life. Your ministry was a source of comfort in my darkest hour." Carlos, thank you for that. Benjamin writes from Colorado, "The book of Proverbs came alive for me through Wisdom. I've been applying the wisdom of this book of the Bible to my parenting, and it's made a huge difference in how I relate now to my teenage son." Thank you, Benjamin. Linda writes from Des Moines, Iowa, "As a cancer survivor, I've faced many dark days, but the truth of God's word has been my anchor. Your messages remind me to focus on God's promises rather than my problems. I now share these lessons with others in my church's support group, and your ministry is a source of light and hope." Thank you, Linda, for that. Carol's writing us from South Africa. "Cape Town. Stephen, I've been listening to your teachings for the past 5 or 6 years, and at the moment I'm working through Exodus again, and I just want to say thank you for the encouragement you are to my heart. I have sent your messages on to many people." Well, thank you for that. She's our representative, Scott, in Cape Town, South Africa. One more. Elena writes from South Dakota, "I've been listening to Wisdom for a few years, and it's become a part of my daily routine. It's opened my eyes to the depth of God's grace. As someone who grew up in a works-based religious tradition, I now understand that salvation is a gift." Wow. Thank you, Elena, for that.
So glad to have heard from all of you. Friend, I wonder if you've ever followed God's direction and faced unexpected challenges. If so, Moses knows exactly how you feel. And that's what Stephen's going to talk about today in this lesson called Back to Egypt. Now, here's Stephen.
Now, in our study today here at Exodus chapter 4, all the way through the opening of chapter 7, we're going to get a front row seat to watch what happens next in the life of Moses. Moses is finally going back to Egypt. Now, Moses knows that Pharaoh isn't going to be throwing him a welcome home party, especially when Moses shows up with an ultimatum from God. For several days now, as Moses travels from Midian toward Egypt, he's had a lot of time to think things over. He'd spent 40 years in safety in the land of Midian. He's married one of the 7 daughters of a priest named Jethro. Her name is Zipporah. And they have a son named Gershom. Now, Jethro and Zipporah are Midianites. Even though they're not a part of the nation Israel, they are followers of God. We know from history that the Midianites even practiced circumcision, but they practiced it on grown males just prior to marriage. But God had ordained circumcision as a sign of the covenant through Abraham, and the Israelite males were to be circumcised as infants to show the faith and obedience of their parents to this special covenant sign. You see, circumcision symbolized the cutting away of sin and separation unto God. Moses evidently hadn't followed through on this with his own son. And we read here about a rather strange event taking place in chapter 4 and verse 24. We read this: "At a lodging place on the way, the Lord met him," that is Moses, "and sought to put him to death." Now, this may have been a life-threatening illness, but it was obviously God's discipline. And it becomes known that it has to do with Moses not circumcising his son in obedience to the covenant plan of God. So here in verse 25, we're told that his wife Zipporah, she takes a flint and performs circumcision on their son. And then she says to Moses, "Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me." She doesn't seem to be very happy with this bloodshed, this ceremony. And even though she knows it saved the life of her husband, she seems rather disgusted with the whole thing. fact, Exodus chapter 18 indicates that she evidently returned home for some period of time. So Moses has compromised by not taking the word of God seriously. Let me tell you, this is going to be a great reminder for Moses as he heads toward Egypt that above everything else, he needs to obey. He needs to deliver the word of God. Now here in chapter 5, Moses and Aaron arrive in Egypt and they announce to the Pharaoh here in verse 1, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go." Thus says the Lord. In other words, this isn't the word of Moses. This is the word of God. Now, Pharaoh responds just as clearly by basically saying, not in a million years. And with that, Pharaoh moves to make the lives of the Israelites even more difficult here in verses 7 and 8. He's going to withhold from them the straw that the Egyptians normally provided for the making of bricks. Now the Israelites have to go and get their own straw, but the quota for bricks remains the same. Now you can imagine, the Israelites are going to turn on Moses and Aaron. In fact, they do here in verse 21. "You have made us stink in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." In other words, look, life was hard enough before you guys came along, and now we're all going to die. Moses is stunned by what's just happened. He wasn't expecting this reversal. And he goes to God and says here in verse 22, "Oh Lord, why have you done this? Why have you allowed this evil? Why did you ever send me?" You know, I'd be asking God the same thing. Maybe you're doing the best to follow God right now. Perhaps you're even a ministry leader, but everything has suddenly been turned upside down and everybody's mad at you. And all you've been trying to do is obey God. Leadership is difficult, isn't it? Yeah, I read somewhere the humorous statement that a good leader is someone who is able to keep people who hate him away from all the other people who are still undecided. Well, everybody hates Moses now. Chapter 6 opens with God reassuring Moses. In fact, 5 times here in Exodus chapter 6, you're going to hear God tell Moses, "I am the Lord, I am the Lord," over and over. He's effectively encouraging Moses, look, even though you want to throw in the towel, even though you want to quit, even though everybody hates you, I want you and I want all of Israel to remember that I am the Lord. Not I was the Lord or I used to be the Lord, but I am the Lord of Lords. So 5 times in this chapter, God reminds Moses of who God is. Now, the Lord goes on to say 7 different times in this chapter what he's going to do. God isn't just the I am, he's the I will. So beginning here in verse 6, God makes this incredible promise. "I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for possession. I am the Lord." Wow. Moses goes back to the people of Israel with this message from God, but unfortunately, the people respond to God's declaration of "I am and I will" by effectively saying, "Yeah, but we won't." Verse 9 says, "They did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit." So now let's not be too hard on them. You could translate this phrase, broken spirit, as literally gasping for breath. They're just trying to catch their breath. God is patient with them. He knows they've experienced incredibly difficult and painful times. They're convinced there's no way out. Maybe you can identify with them here. You see no evidence that God is at work on your behalf. I mean, you look around and there's nothing to celebrate. But God keeps pressing you in the work he's given you to do. God tells Moses here to go back into that court, go back to Pharaoh and repeat the demand, "Let my people go." Here in chapter 7, the conversation now between God and Moses might seem a little odd to us at first. Verse 1, God says to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet." Now, you need to understand that in Egypt, Pharaoh was considered the divine offspring of the sun god. That is a physical representation of deity on earth. So God is telling Moses, I'm going to put you on equal terms with Pharaoh. You're going to be my physical representation, the representation of God on earth. By the way, what this means is that when Pharaoh loses, everybody will know that the false god was defeated by the true and living God represented by Moses. You know, you might be serving the Lord right now under very difficult and trying conditions. Maybe there isn't much evidence that God is at work in your life or through your life. Beloved, let me tell you, don't quit. Don't respond to his "I am and I will" with disobedience. "Well, I'm not gonna." Cling to him. Serve him. In spite of how you feel right now or what it looks like around you. In fact, what you have to cling to is the same thing Moses was gripping here, and that was the Word of God. This declares the truth of God. God said, "This is who I am, and this is what I will do." You can trust what God has said and what He's promised to do. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
I hope this time in God's Word will encourage you the next time you face opposition or feel like quitting. You're listening to The Wisdom Journey. In addition to equipping you with these daily Bible lessons, we also have a magazine. It includes articles written by Stephen to help you dive deeper into various topics related to the Christian life. The magazine also has a daily devotional guide that you can use to remain grounded and rooted in God's Word every day. We call the magazine Heart to Heart. We'd be happy to send you the next 3 issues if you'd like to see it for yourself. You can sign up for it on our website, or you can call us today. Our number is 866-48-BIBLE. That's 866-482-4253. I'm Scott Wiley, and for Stephen and the entire Wisdom team, thanks for listening. See you next time.